Saints back off defensively. Prescott throws over the middle, and Witten fumbles and loses it. A.J. Klein knocks it away. It's picked up by Von Bell, and the ball is still alive. And Von Bell, who ran one back for a touchdown last week on a fumble, gives them field position inside the 40-yard line. And the Saints defense ready for their close-up.
That they were, and not only were they ready for it, they took full advantage of it as the Saints defense and special teams helped lead the Hoodettes to an upset victory over the visiting Dallas Cowboys last night on Sunday Night Football. Hoodettes, without Drew Brees, are now 3-1 on the year, tied for second-best record in the NFC, and they are atop the NFC South standings with the visiting Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to town on Sunday. Good morning to you. This is RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III. I'm joined by my producer extraordinaire, Louis Prejean. We got a tremendous show to get to you. We're going to recap the Raging Cajuns' upset win on the road as well to start Sun Belt Conference play with a W. They improved their record to 4-1 now on the season. We're going to talk take it back. Houston Astros, best record in the American League, best record in all of baseball. Home field advantage throughout. Oh, and now they have a tough decision. They've created a tough decision for not only the MVP race, but also for the American League Cy Young Award. We'll talk about that as well, but we're going to start off with, we're going to start off with the Hoodettes, of course. The Saints. What do we make of what they were able to do last night? Offensively, this was a struggle. It's fair to say. Teddy Bridgewater did not look great. Now, he nearly threw for 200 yards. Had the early interception that he was able to overcome and was able to put together some drives that set up Will Lutz field goals. This was old-fashioned Jim Moore Dome Patrol type of game. Lean on your defense. Lean on special teams. Remember back in the day, Saints were quarterbacked by Bobby Hebert. Had a little bit of a running game back in the day. But they were led by the Dome Patrol. All four guys went to the same Pro Bowl linebacking core. They had Morton Anderson, Goldenfoot. Sure did seem a lot like the old Dome Patrol days, didn't it, last night, watching this game? Offense stalls, can't get into the end zone. Defense steps up, forces three turnovers, and you have a field goal kicker who's quickly was already in the conversation as being one of the top five best ones in the league. But damn, you could make an argument Will Lutz may be the best field goal kicker in the NFL. And there you are. You take down the Dallas Cowboys. The previously undefeated Cowboys. With their high-powered offense of Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper and Zeke Elliott. Zeke scored a touchdown last night. How many rushing yards did he end up with? 35? Is that how that ended? Defense 8 last night. And they ate good. They got after it. You heard the Von Bell fumble recovery there on the Jason Witten play. A.J. Klein knocked it out, punched it out. Von Bell was there to recover. Wasn't pretty. 12-10 is not a pretty game by any stretch of the imagination. At times, ugly to watch. Saints offense struggled. Teddy did have a good completion percentage, 23 of 30, 193 yards, had the one early interception. But he's also sacked 5 times. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to call them out. I'm not going to say who they are. I'm not going to give you their names. had people blowing up my phone texting me, told you Teddy Bridgewater sucked when he took the sack on the third down play. There at the end of the game. He sucks. He's awful. I said, yeah, he hasn't been playing great tonight. Neither has the offensive line. Teron Armstead decided to have the worst game of his entire career last night. That cat could not block anybody. Couldn't block anyone. Dallas's front seven got after the Saints' offensive line. The Saints' offensive line looked a lot more like it did against the Rams than it did against the Seahawks, didn't it? Dallas got after it. They got the hosses up front in the front seven to put pressure on the quarterback. So Teddy was sacked five times, including that sack on third down that forced them out of field goal range and it had forced them to punt the football away and gave Dallas an opportunity to try to march down the field to win the game. Sean Payton took blame for that. So did Teddy Bridgewater. Both of them took blame for the play. Teddy said he should have got rid of it. Worst case, worst possible thing you could do in that moment. Sean Payton said he called the wrong play. Regardless, the defense said, don't worry about it. We got you covered. Teddy Bridgewater, 23 of 30 for 193 yards, no touchdowns and interception. Five times he was sacked. Alvin Kamara, just businesslike. 17 carries for 69 yards, averaged 4.1 yards a carry. He ran tough as always. Michael Thomas nearly had 100 yards receiving, nine catches for 95 yards. Jarrett Cook, 3 of 21. Oof. Vaughn Bell had the two fumble recoveries. Also led the team in tackles with 10. Marcus Williams had the interception at the end on the Hail Mary. Once again, not the prettiest game you're going to see. By no stretch of the imagination. But Teddy did enough to get the Saints in position to kick those field goals. And once again, if I would have asked you, Saints fan, looking at the schedule, Texans, Rams, Seahawks, Cowboys, to start off the year, if I would have told you you had a healthy Drew Brees and you guys are going to go 3-1 in the first four games, you'd jump up and down. You'd be screaming, who dat? You'd give me a damn hug, and you say, that sounds great, RP3. You're 3-1 right now to start off the year. Drew Brees is injured, and the only thing I hear from Saints fans is still a lot of complaining. You're 3-1. You're top of your division without number 9. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be the prettiest car in the world. My first car that I had was a 1979 Monte Carlo. Me and my dad worked on it, painted it, everything, bought parts for it. It was not the prettiest car in the world. Not by a stretch of the imagination. But you know what? It got me from point A to point B, and I had a car in high school. That's all that mattered. Same thing here. Doesn't matter if it's not pretty. Doesn't matter if it doesn't look great. A win is a win in the National Football League. They do not give out bonus points or bonus victories. You don't get to win the Super Bowl based on a point system because you won a game in a pretty fashion. A win is a win, and the Saints got it yesterday. Let's head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Matt to the show. Matt, good morning to you. What's on your mind, brother?
How you doing this morning, RP3?
I'm doing fine, my man. I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Look, you know, I've said it once, and I've said it a million times. Saints fans are just spoiled by Drew Brees. Teddy Bridgewater is doing the best he can. It's his second game that he started in what, 4 years? I mean, the dude is a game manager, and he'll only get better. We just need to give him a chance. Now, let's talk about Thomas Morstead and just how great he is.
There we go. That's what I want to hear. Give it to me.
All right. I'll hang up and let you talk.
He's right there. Because as good as Will Lutz was last night, Thomas Morstead was an absolute beast. Matt, appreciate the phone call, brother. Thank you for that. I was going to get to Thomas Morstead. My man wanted to give love to the special teams to start off the morning, and I'm going to accommodate him. Morstead? How is Morstead only a one-time Pro Bowler? Like, how's that happened? That cat is special. He coffin-cornered, punted those Cowboys into oblivion last night. He pinned them back where Dak Prescott and those guys had no chance. None. Had no chance. Morstead and Lutz were huge. The defense was huge. And like Matt said, once again, Teddy was making his second start since 2015. I don't know. Maybe we should give him a little while before, you know, throwing him into the coulee, so to speak. Ha! Ezekiel Elliott, 18 carries, only 35 yards. The league's supposed best running back only averaged 1.9 yards a carry versus the Saints' defense. Hudats did a tremendous job in the running game. Jason Witten, 50 yards. He led the Cowboys. That was it. Amari Cooper, 5 catches, only 48 yards. Give it up to the Saints' defense. They stepped up. Harris is on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Harris, good morning to you, brother. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm celebrating the big victory last night. That was unexpected. No one has given the Saints' defense kind of opportunity to win. But I do believe that we are underestimating the coaching of Sean Payton. Sean Payton can probably tailor his offense to fit a quarterback instead of a quarterback fitting what Sean Payton do. And that's what you got to do in the NFL. You got to take what you got to work with. But I think, man, we would be a whole lot better if we could just probably find a better fit for Andre Pete. He's costing this game. I know Larry Wolford had a few flags last night for holding, but that's going to come back to bite us, man, against other teams. You know, we're not going to be playing but 6 more games at home. I think this is our second home game. But Teddy Bridgewater's looking good. I think Taysom Hill need to get a few more touches at the quarterback spot. But we got to push the ball down the field. We can't babysit Teddy Bridgewater. I know he's a, you know, like a dink and dunk quarterback, but he's a quarterback. And I think we look very good. What do you think are our chances of going with a winning record until Drew Brees get back?
I'll answer that, Harris. Thank you for the phone call. Real quick on what he had to say. The dinking and the dunking, that's kind of Teddy's ball game since he's been in the NFL. If you go back and look at what he did as the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings when they reached the playoffs and he earned his one Pro Bowl nomination, or a berth rather, was that. They had a really good defense, strong running game. Teddy was able to do his thing. I saw a lot of that last night. Now, you'd like to see more shots down the field. I think it's early. Once again, this cat has not started. This is only his second start, meaningful start, in like 4 years. And not to make an excuse, because people ask me, well, look how he's playing. He looks like he's scared a little bit. Well, Andres Pete has been absolutely hot garbage so far this year. I made the argument that they should have traded him in the offseason. It may be time for Nick Easton, who they got from the Minnesota Vikings in free agency, the guard slash center that they have. It may be time to him to come in. Because how are you going to develop Eric McCoy at the center position if you still have him having to do extra work to pick up on the left guard? Okay. And Teron Armstead had the worst game of his career last night. He looked awful. They did not do Teddy any favors whatsoever. Neither did Derek Cook. And I'll get to him later. I will save that for later this week. Oh, keeps looking like Cody Fleener to me. Just saying. Spent all that money on getting on a damn tight end. Might as well just use Josh Hill. Because Jared Cook, cat's not getting any separation. Like, you're 6'5", 250 pounds. You're a specimen. And he can't get any separation? I don't know. You'll see them continue to open it up, though, moving forward, I do believe, when it comes to that. And Sean Payton, look, that's why they gave him the contract extension, to be able to call plays like he did. Once again, adapt your play calling to the strengths of your quarterback or of your offense. I will say this, you're going to see more Taysom Hill. You saw a little bit of it last night. I think you're going to see more of it moving forward as the Saints progress. And to answer Harris's last question, yeah, I mean, they're 3-1 right now. They beat the Seahawks. They beat the Cowboys. They got the Bucks, who we'll get to. They did a stunning victory over the Rams, curb stomped them, put 50-plus points on them yesterday in Los Angeles. Don't know what the hell's going on there with Tampa Bay. But that'll be a real good game this Sunday. And, yes, I do believe they can have a winning record while Drew Brees is out. Let's head back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on, Rogers. Rogers, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Saints beat the Cowboys. I just wanted to call and give my little take of the game.
Go ahead, my man.
I really thought the Saints defense really did good. And I don't know if you remember last week when I talked to you about the Lattimore concerns. I said it always takes about 3 weeks before Lattimore returns to Lattimore's form.
Yes, sir,
and
you did.
He completely shut down Amari Cooper. Nobody's really talking about that, how he blanketed him out. And not just that, I really felt that Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan, that tandem is coming together real nicely, and I can't wait to see Sheldon Rankins come back. But also, too, I just want to just really give some big props out to Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. They keep doing it again. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I'm going to just go ahead and point this out. I think we're starting to see what New Orleans problem from last year rears head now this year. They have nobody at the receiver position, and I agree with you. Cook is looking like Kobe Fleener. And I just really liked it how the defense started to call more man and mixing zone, and it was enough to confuse Dak Prescott. And before I hang up, Raymond, your name's Raymond Parks the Third. My name's Rogers Major the Fourth.
There you go.
I threw my wife back. And, man, I really enjoy listening to the show, and I just can't wait to hear what else you guys say about this game. Who that nation, stand up, be proud. They got to give Bridgewater more time, and I do believe that Sean Payton got to take the kid's glove off of Teddy Bridgewater. But I do think New Orleans needs a number two, because right now Ted Ginn is showing his age, and they really missed Traquan Smith last night, because outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and the dump-off passes, they had nothing, and they need more if they're going to continue going down and winning these games at home and away and in the playoff time. And they got to get Drew Brees some help so you don't stand in the pocket just in case that the offensive line breaks down. And one quick note before I hang up, Teron Armstead had a knee problem this week in practice. I think that was hampering him during that game because he's quicker off the ball. And Robert Quinn is good, but I've seen him handle Quinn in the past couple of years that they did play the Rams, and he couldn't keep up with him. I really believe that knee injury had something to do with it. And the thing about it, I don't know how bad it was, but he was listed with a knee injury. And a lineman like him that relies on speed and power, he had no power to drive off that leg to keep up with him. And I hang up and listen, and I enjoy the show.
Rogers, appreciate you, my man. Thank you for the call. Quickly, before we hit our break, I want to touch on a couple things. Yes, I think Armstead looks banged up because he has handled Robert Quinn in the past. Good point there by Rogers. Also, here's the other thing. Last year, you saw down the stretch, we saw this same kind of problems, right? Offensive line, Pete started not being able to block as well. Armstead was banged up. Unger was banged up. Offensive line wasn't blocking as well. And it was just simply Michael Thomas carrying the load for the wide receivers and Alvin Kamara and Ingram out of the backfield. They need someone else to step up in the wide receiving core. They thought they had that in Jared Cook. He's been a flame out so far. So they're going to have to address some needs as the season progresses. And, yes, I expect Sean Payton to take the kids' gloves off again with Teddy Bridgewater as the season progresses. We got to take our first timeout of the day. Good phone calls. Keep them coming. ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. Good start to the morning. Saints, once again, I know for some people, there's people that were tweeting at your boy, were tweeting like they had lost the game. Saints won 12-10 over the previous undefeated Dallas Cowboys. Saints are now 3-1 on the season. They will welcome in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. So what do we think about this team? I think they're good. Defense is coming to form. That secondary played lights out. Vaughn Bell, Marshawn Lattimore, Eli Apple. front seven, Davenport starting to finally come into his own. Hey, if this team is led by its defense and its tough running game, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll keep the Saints conversation going forward after this quick timeout. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game.
I'm sure when we look at the tape, there'll be a number of things that we'll want to improve on, and yet it's a good win against a good opponent, and we'll play in a lot of those close games, and I thought our guys finished well.
They did, in fact, finish well. Interception on the final play of the game, the Hail Mary pass from Dak Prescott, which would have been short regardless. But still, good to see Marcus Williams coming down with that interception, right? A little confidence booster there for the Saints secondary. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network. That's channel 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Good win, good opponent. That turnover ratio and run game was a huge factor in last night's game. Excuse me. And Sean Payton, Saints head coach, discussed that at length afterwards about the key to the game being winning the turnover battle as well as the rushing attack led by Alvin Kamara.
There's sometimes you think that going in and it's the opposite, and then the other times. So I think you're really focused more on the things, the keys that we feel like to win the game are. Winning the turnover ratio, that was a key to victory. Winning the rushing battle, that was a key to victory. And then if you win both of those, you have a really good chance of winning the game, and I thought those were important stats.
Defense came to play. Saints had to lean on their defense. That's why I said it reminded me of a Dome Patrol kind of game. Lean on the defense, special teams, let them put up points. Offense does enough to set you up in field goal range. Something that he won't be pleased about is the amount of penalties in the game. Sean Payton talked about that's something that they're going to have to clean up quickly if they want to continue being a playoff contender, Super Bowl contender.
I don't know who, who you put in there. It's going to be hard to overcome some of those penalties. Those got have to get cleaned up, and they're going to get cleaned up, I promise you. It's been too difficult to overcome.
Too difficult to overcome. Sometimes you put yourself in just a terrible situation that way. That 9-minute drive they had, though, there in the second half, that was key for the New Orleans Saints. And Sean Payton talked about that lengthy drive and how the game was put back in the control, put back in the hands of the New Orleans Saints.
I mean, I'd love to feel like I can dial up a 9-minute drive anytime I want to. You're going to have some balance there. So I think certainly that kind of put advantage back in our court relative to the time.
Gave them the control. They were able to get points out of that as well. Big surprise yesterday with Sheldon Rankins, the star defensive tackle. Shredded his knee, remember, in the playoffs. He actually came back and played a little bit yesterday. Not still 100%, but good enough to play. Sean Payton, though, said he felt like Rankins would have been back this week the whole time.
We kind of felt like the target date for the last 3 weeks. We felt it was, it was close and could have gone last week, but this was the game we felt all along. So we wanted to make sure, and, we were fortunate he was able to. All right, one more question.
Sean Payton also felt that this matchup between the Cowboys and the Saints, which ended up being a 12-10 victory for the Hoodats, was going to be low scoring all along.
I thought the type of teams that we're playing, I didn't expect it to be a high scoring game, but I thought I probably felt like both offenses might have had the opportunity to score a little bit more, and yet, and it unfolded that way. So Yeah, I mean, I was pleased. I was really pleased with how we played defensively against a good offense.
I said it was an ugly game, and it was offensively. Five sacks, interception, no touchdowns. First time in the Sean Payton era that they have won a game without scoring a touchdown. Do you believe? That is the stat. It was an ugly performance in a lot of ways. Old-fashioned schlabanaka. But Teddy Bridgewater, starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, said, never said that this had to be pretty, because a win is a win.
Overall, great team effort. We knew that it was going to be a battle coming into this game. We knew last year we heard about how much more physical they were than us. And you know, we knew coming into this game that we had to be the most physical team. We knew that we had to possess the ball, and we had to be good in certain areas of the game. And, of course, you're going to watch the tape tomorrow. There's some areas where you can improve on. I know for myself, taking that last sack on our last drive, you know, taking us out of field goal range, and now making it a field goal game opposed to making Dallas have to drive down and score a touchdown. But in this league, we know how hard it is to win football games, and no one said they had to be pretty.
He's right. You also, you know what I love there? Someone texted me last night, friend of mine. You love Teddy Bridgewater. I got nothing but love for Teddy Bridgewater because of what he says. He's all about accountability. You heard it right there. We need to clean up some things. I took that sack. I shouldn't have taken that sack. Didn't shy away from it. Didn't make excuses. Didn't say, nah, it was a bad play call. No, no, no. He stood up and said, you know what? I shouldn't have taken the sack. Now, head coach said that he should have called a better play, and he put his quarterback in a bad position. So both men stepped up and took accountability for the mistake there on third down. And the Saints' last drive of the game, where they could have put the game away by just trying to set up another field goal. This is what Teddy had to further say about that third down sack late in the game.
You know, I just have to be better in that situation. Like, I was aware that, you know, we had points on the board. And I just have to find, you know, a way to just throw it over Alvin's head or something and, you know, send our kicking team or out on the field. So it's one of those situations where you wish it didn't happen. You know, you never want that to be the last play of the game as an offensive player. You know, that leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But they say, at the end of the day, we won the football game, and that's why we play this game to win.
At the end of the day, they won the football game. That's all that matters. But he said right there, once again, shouldn't have taken the sack. That's what you want. That's what you want to hear. Once again, not making excuses for Teddy. Teddy is not going to be Drew Brees. Plain and simple. I texted someone last night. I says, what do you want? I mean, at the end of the day, what do you want? Because if you think there's another Drew Brees just hanging out on a tree somewhere, you're fooling yourself. Legitimately in the NFL, look at it. Who's the top-tier quarterbacks in this league? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers? Is there a fifth? Look, Saints fan, if you want guys that are going to be great throwing the ball down the field and are going to rack up a bunch of garbage time yardage and a couple scores late in the game because the game is out of control and is already out of reach because they don't perform well at managing the game, those guys are a dime a dozen, my man. You want Matthew Stafford? Okay. You want Matt Ryan? Okay. I mean, if that's what you want, if you want guys that are going to throw for 350 yards because 200 of that yardage is going to come in the third and fourth quarter when the game is out of reach and they're just chucking the ball trying to make a comeback and the other team's defense is going to prevent, those guys are a dime a dozen. You want Matt Ryan? You want Matthew Stafford instead of Teddy Bridgewater? There's a difference. It's Brees, it's Brady, it's Rodgers. Okay? Very few guys are at that upper tier level. Carson Wentz is still a work in progress. Jared Goff is still a work in progress. They just are. I mean, if you want those guys that can put up a bunch of yards. I'm sorry. Well, I want a guy that can throw for a bunch of yards. And okay, You want Kirk Cousins? Because I'm pretty sure the Minnesota fan base would let you have him. There's certain guys that are elite tier, top tier quarterbacks in this league. There's other guys that get Pro Bowls and put up a bunch of yards and stats that don't win games, that don't help their teams really win games. And then there's game managers that help you win games. I'll take Teddy Bridgewater, the game manager who helps the team win ball games, than the guy who's going to get Pro Bowls after Pro Bowls because he's a stat stuffer, like a Kirk Cousins, like a Matthew Stafford. Okay? Russell Wilson would be the fifth quarterback there in the top five. Those stat stuffers are everywhere. You can have those guys left and right. Once again, Teddy does not have to be Drew Brees. You're not going to replace a guy who's going to go into Canton with another guy that's going to go into Canton. Green Bay is the only example that I can think of where that's going to be happening. Rodgers replaces Favre. Okay? There's like five elite quarterbacks in this league. There's like 10 guys who are the second tier. And there's a bunch of other dudes. Drew Breeses don't grow on trees. Once again, don't grow on trees. But Teddy did enough to help his team win the ball game again. Be happy you got a game manager who can help you win games. Be happy. Or you could be the Atlanta Falcons. You want to be the Dirty Birds? Is that who you want? You want to be the Minnesota Vikings? You want to be Kirk Cousins? I'm sure the Saints can trade a backup defensive back and a first-round pick for one of those guys. And you can watch him struggle with multiple turnovers in the first three quarters and then throw for 200 yards in the fourth quarter when they're coming from behind and still lose by 10. But sure, Teddy Bridgewater's garbage. Whatever. We got to take a break. We'll take more of your phone calls after the break. Dial the Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Phone lines are open. You can call the Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Want to give us your thoughts on the Saints taking down the previous undefeated Dallas Cowboys by the score of 12-10. That's an old-school early to mid-2000s type of SEC LSU-Alabama game score there. You can give us your call, give us your thoughts. We'd be happy to hear from you. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network and LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. Because why wouldn't you want to look at us in high definition? Louis Prejean, I know it's early, but we're going to set the right tone for this week. Don't break the microphone. That's not the way to set the right tone. So, how you feeling this morning? Because I know you love rolling with the Hoodats. You do support the state's team, even though you picked against them, I do believe, on Friday once again. That's back-to-back weeks you've picked against the Saints.
Don't do this to me, Ray.
Who picked them to win the ball game? Who would have been that? That would have been me.
That was you.
Oh, that's
again.
Right.
That's why you're on that side of the glass. That's why I'm over here. And I gotta say, for the record, I went with the Saints. I was going with the Saints. I had every stat to back it up.
You let the soon-to-be Louisiana Sports Hall of Famer Charles Peanut Tillman sway you the other direction.
He swayed me. Now, it was ultimately my decision to go with his advice.
That's true.
So that's on me.
Accountability. I love it. Just like Teddy Bridgewater.
I'm like Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. I had everything ready to go for the Saints pick. And then, you know what? I was like, let me get some advice. And you know what? It's fine. I picked against the Saints. From now on, until Drew Brees gets back, I'm just never going to pick against them ever again. I'm just going to keep picking the Saints.
Or you could look at it like this. Okay, I don't want you to beat yourself up over here. Okay, I'm giving you a little hard time, but maybe you picking against them is helping.
That's what I was thinking. I'm a reverse jinx.
See,
and I'll keep that bit up, and then everyone can call in and be like, Lewis, why are you picking against the Saints? We'll come back to this moment right here where I will pick against the Saints just to have the reverse jinx happen because it seems to be working. Two straight weeks I picked against them, but I will say I did get the Cajuns right, so I feel good about that. I said they win by 13 and they won by 13. We'll get to that later with David Mason.
That's correct. The football legend will be joining us coming up at 7:32.
But with the Saints game, very impressed by the defense. Sheldon Rankin's coming back. I got the notification that he was going to be active, and I got hype. My girlfriend pulled the Rankin's jersey out the closet for this one.
Nice.
She has a Rankin's jersey.
Nice.
I know. A keeper, right?
Respect.
And she shimmied during the game. The Sheldon shimmy. It was beautiful. But I got to say, defense, Von Bell, I didn't expect it. Marshawn Lattimore, we did have, I believe, Rodgers. Was it that told us it takes him a few weeks?
He's a slow starter.
During the broadcast, they were saying he gets up for the big matchups. But I'm turning to the people beside me, and I'm like, why doesn't he get up for all the matchups? He should get up for all the matchups, Marshawn Lattimore.
He shut down Amari Cooper.
There's 16 weeks. Get up for 16 weeks, and you'll be fine. And we won't have this conversation about it takes you 3 weeks or it's only the big matchups. But he shut down Amari Cooper. He did. And that was Marshawn Lattimore. That was all Marshawn Lattimore.
And back-to-back weeks, Von Bell has stepped up in a big way.
10 tackles?
He led the team in tackles yesterday and had the two fumble recoveries. The week before, he scored the defensive touchdown for the Saints. So he's developing into the man, I'll say it, the stud of the secondary, and setting the tone. Lattimore is playing improved. Eli Apple's playing improved. If that defense can continue playing that way with that kind of confidence, they're going to be tough to beat. It just because you see the front seven starting to come into their own. Davenport is starting to. It doesn't show up in the stat line for him. Like, he's not going to be a double-digit sack guy, but he helps Cam Jordan out. And you can tell that he's making an impact on the game. If you're studying the tape, you can see that Davenport is playing well. If healthy Cam, healthy Davenport, and now you got Sheldon Rankin's back, the front seven is getting after it. The secondary is improving. You have the best punter in the NFL. I make the argument you have the best kicker in the NFL. So defense and special teams are already in postseason form here.
That's what I was looking at with
the biggest concern for me. And a couple of our callers brought it up earlier. And you feel free to call, once again, ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. I have two concerns. Neither are about Teddy Bridgewater. You know what they are? The offensive line looked awful yesterday. Now, Teron Armstead may be dealing with another injury. God bless it. That man cannot stay healthy. Never has been able to. His health? Andres Pete looking lost. Offensive line's got to play better. I'm concerned about that. The other thing, who the hell else is going to catch the damn football besides Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara? Jared Cook, I need you to step up. Tidgin Jr., where you at? Same problems they had at the end of last season, offensive line, wide receiving depth. Those could possibly hold them back. We got to take our final break of the first hour. More Saints talk on the horizon. Right here, RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Hill in. He's going to take the direct snap. The man who can do just about everything, including this. Taysom Hill for a gain of about 18 yards. And Drew Brees loves it. Hill is the guy who came up last year out of Brigham Young, did a fantastic job. He could do everything.
Back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Feel free to give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Phone lines are open. We're guest heavy on the back end of today's show, so if you want to get your phone calls in, by all means, share your thoughts with us at 337-706-0111. That, of course, was Taysom Hill trucking a Dallas Cowboy defender. They used him briefly a little bit last night. He's a very good runner. Very good runner. And I would anticipate you're going to see him be utilized even more so. Maybe a few passes, because everyone's going to think that he's just going to be able to run the ball. But you're going to see him be put into packages. I really do. You're going to see him be put into more packages, the former BYU Cougar. Teddy will be your starting quarterback, and then you'll fold in a little bit more Taysom Hill to give your offense a little bit more of a different dynamic moving forward. I'd expect to see that this coming Sunday when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to town inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for a noon kick. Once again, Saints win 12-10 over the previous undefeated Dallas Cowboys. Did so there inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Wasn't the prettiest game. Probably didn't help you if you're playing fantasy football last night. Unless you had Will Lutz as your kicker. What up to all you Will Lutz owners in fantasy football. But a win is a win. A win is a win. And that's all that matters. Doesn't have to be pretty. Once again, you do not earn style points. This is not college football, the old BCS system, where margin of victory and the style of your win helped you get into a national championship game. Doesn't matter. There's been a lot of ugly teams. There's been a lot of ugly wins for teams that have gone on to win Super Bowls. Happens every single year. Every single year. Your backup quarterback did just enough to get the W. Alvin Kamara ran tough as nails. Again. Boy, he's a tough runner. And here's the crazy thing about Alvin Kamara, right? Couldn't beat out the guys in front of him on the depth chart at the University of Alabama, transfers to Tennessee, and is barely utilized there. Ends up being a fourth-round draft pick. Guy's an absolute stud. Someone didn't do their job at Alabama and Tennessee. And let's be honest. Not surprising about Tennessee, Harvey. No. Have you seen the Volunteers play football in the last decade or so? Let's head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Larry to the show. Larry, good morning to you. How are you, brother?
RP3, I'm doing great this morning.
What's on your mind, my man?
Man, any morning we can beat the Cowboys, brother, this is going to be a good week.
That it is, man. What stood out to you more than anything last night?
Man, and I hate to say it, because I called you a while back, and we talked, and I was saying how I hate, you know, I don't want to talk about the referees, blah, blah, blah. But last night, I don't know how you can't talk about the referees after last night. Because there was some real nonsense going on that field last night.
Yeah, and there was the slide play that stood out to me.
I'm usually
that slide play.
Not a conspiracy theorist.
Go ahead, Larry.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm usually not a conspiracy theorist, but last night I don't know what the world was going on.
I don't know either. When they called the one play, they called the flag on Von Bell for the hit on Dak, right? It was a similar play.
Oh, well, the hit, quote-unquote hit.
Yeah, the quote-unquote hit. And then Teddy Bridgewater does the same thing. He slides, and they hit him, and they don't call the flag.
And like that was the most agreed. That was the most egregious one of the night. I can't figure out how in the world both of those aren't the same thing. You either have to call both, or you don't call either one. That was just nuts. And then it was crazy. They called us for a hold, which it was a hold all day long on our left tackle. And then I swear, the very next possession that the Cowboys had, they held one of our defensive ends like it was so egregious and no flag. And I'm thinking, what are they watching?
I've said this before, Larry, and I appreciate the phone call. Hey,
thank you.
I do not believe that the NFL officials are conspiring against the Saints. What I believe, and have so for a decade plus, is this. It's bad officiating. The NFL has a bad officiating problem. Okay? They have a bad officiating problem. They don't train their officials properly. They're not full-time officials, for one. Make them full-time, You can have them be more accountable that way. Provide them with more training. Invest in your product. If you're investing all millions upon millions upon millions of dollars into players, into TV contracts, into special initiatives, into merchandise, so forth and so forth and so forth, into helmet technology, into cameras that go zigzag patterns. First of all, we don't need all these cameras, but that's another point. But you're investing all that money. Couldn't you set aside like $250,000 to properly train officials or to have paying full-time officials? You pay the officials more money. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. This applies to anything in life. If you try to go cheap on a home improvement project and try to have your buddies, cousins, friends, neighbor come over and do it on the cheap, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get cheap work. You pay for what you get. And the NFL refuses to pay officials, make them full-time, and get a quality product on the field for their officiating. And it's tremendously awful how bad the officiating is in the NFL, just not for the Saints, but across the board. It is awful. Absolutely awful. Let's head back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Mark on the call. Mark, good morning to you, brother. I know you got something to say, in particular about the commentators from last night. What you got, my man?
Well, I was just going to say I found it really annoying that they were trying to justify all those terrible calls. It seemed like they had read those articles about how this particular officiating crew had gotten, you know, very favorable calls for the Saints in the past, and they were trying to make up for that. And I just, you know, the fact that Collinsworth and Michaels were trying to justify them all night just made the product so much worse. But anytime we get a win against the Cowboys, a good day. I'm going to hang up. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Yeah, anytime you can beat the Cowboys, it's a good day. But I am right. Like, it seemed a producer was talking into their ears. Hey, make sure you, Al, yes, you were on the probably the greatest sports call of all time, The Miracle on Ice. You have a lot of integrity. But let's keep pushing this narrative that this is a really good officiating crew that's given the Saints high marks. Yeah, by the way, it's the third quarter. I need to remind you to go ahead and do that. That's right, yeah. Yeah, I was a little annoyed by that as well, Mark. You're right. And once again, they may have given good marks to the Saints in the past, but I still stand by what I say. Until you make your officiating crews full-time employees and have to regulate them and pay them properly and give them the proper training, and if you're a full-time employee, you can be held more accountable than a contract employee. This applies to anything in life. Food business, radio business, telemarketing business, construction. It doesn't matter. The people that are paid and have the salaries are held to a higher standard and have more accountability than the ones that are contracted out. And the NFL for years has done this. And here's the other thing, I'll make this point. At this time, more than any other time in the NFL's history, we have access to angles television-wise and looking at things more than any other time in the history of the NFL. There was probably just as many bad calls 20, 30 years ago. We just didn't see them on television when we watched the games because they weren't available to us. Think about that. The technology has far surpassed things now, and the NFL has done a poor job of adapting to the technology when it comes to the officiating that's there. You can tell these guys are not being properly trained and that they look lost out there. Let's head back out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on, Doug. Doug, good morning to you, brother. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Ray. Larry's right, Ray. It just seemed like last night there were more flags on our offensive line than there was Dallas's offensive line. And I've seen a couple of times where Davenport was held by that big left tackle, Smith. It was obvious and blatant, but they didn't throw a flag on that. And look, at this game where wins are at a premium, officiating can determine the outcome of a game just by throwing a bad flag. You know, it's getting real bad, and they need to do something about this. They really do. Thanks for taking my call, Ray.
Not a problem, Doug. You enjoy your day, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Doug's right. And this is the thing that I don't understand that frustrates me more than everything. By the way, congratulations to the Saints, because there were some, like, Davenport and Jordan were getting held all night long. And that's the old joke, right? Find me one offensive play where a defensive lineman isn't held. Okay. That's a well-regarded joke for generations now. That said, Saints were able to overcome some bad calls and still pull out the win against the Cowboys. But I just don't understand the NFL's point of view on this. Like, and especially in the world that we live in now, not only do you have all these camera angles now for the broadcast, you haven't adapted your officials to that. So you've invested all this money into 18 different angles. Hey, here's the running back crotch cam presented by, you know, the NFL Red Zone. You know, whatever. Okay? That's great. You're giving me multiple angles to watch the game in. There are times, though, I'm not going to lie, I'm the old man. There are times where I miss the old-fashioned just aerial view of watching the game. I don't know. I turned 40, and all of a sudden I became the get off my lawn man. Why haven't you adapted your officials? Part of it, you hear some old officials talk. There's been a lack of officiating, people getting into officiating, and they had older crews retire, and they haven't had the talent to replace those talented, well-respected officials, which has happened in the last 5 to 7 years. Okay, so you have a talent drain, one. Two, you don't have talented young people to replace them. Three, you're not adapting to the technology that you have. And four, you're not properly training your officials. I can't tell you how many times I see it. I see it on the high school, college level as well. There are guys, I have a very good friend who's an official. Been so for years. High school and college official. He spends probably a month a year going to camps training. He has a full-time job as a teacher. Full-time job as a teacher. And still carves out the time dedicating himself to his officiating. Okay? If you could do that at the high school and college level, why can't the NFL do that? Why can't the NFL go, you know what? We're going to set aside a few million dollars. This is for the training and development of our officials, embracing the technology. We're going to help them. Why not do what it takes to help protect your shield? That's what we've always heard about since Roger Goodell took over as NFL commissioner. The integrity of the shield. Integrity of the shield. That's why we got to go after the New Orleans Saints for Bountygate. That's why we got to go over the New England Patriots for inflated footballs. Integrity of the shield. Well, isn't bad officiating deteriorating the integrity of the shield? And here's the thing. The NFL has the power to fix this problem. Make officials full-time. Make them go through training camp, a rigorous training procedure, knowing the technology, understanding the technology left, front, and back. And if you don't pass the test, and if you don't pass the training, you don't get to officiate games. You got cats out there right now that are officiating a game in college on Saturday and then driving to a city to go officiate a game in the NFL because they need to do that to make a living. Real simple. Pay them. Make officials full time. And maybe they'll give a damn more to help the integrity of your shield you proclaim is so important. But we really know it's not that important to them. Sorry, had to whisper that just in case they were listening. This is RP3 Company right here on the Acadiana Sports Station. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Got a new poll question up for you guys. We give you the results of last week's poll question. Last Friday's poll question, we asked you, who deserves to win the Cy Young Award for the American League? It's going to come down to a pair of Astros, Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander. 70.6% of you say Garrett Cole is the one who deserves to win the American League Cy Young Award. Only 29.4% of you selected Justin Verlander. New poll question is up right now, Saints fans. We need your votes. What was more impressive in the Saints' 12-10 win over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night? Was it Alvin Kamara's tough running? Was it the secondary stepping up in a big way? Or was it Will Lutz kicking and Morstead punting? You can go to 1037thegame.com right now and vote on our latest poll question. Louis Prejean, producer extraordinaire.
What's up?
How would you vote in this? What was the most impressive thing for you out of those three? Was it Alvin Kamara's tough running? He didn't get over 100 yards, but he ran tough, picked up some big first downs. Was it the secondary, Von Bell with the two fumble recoveries, or Marshawn Lattimore shutting down Amari Cooper? Or was it the terrific, tremendous punting ability by Thomas Morstead and Will Lutz coming through with field goal after field goal after field goal after field goal? What do you say, sir?
I appreciate Alvin Kamara, but that's the first one I ruled out when it comes to the poll question today. So I came down to Will Lutz's field goal kicking and Morstead's punting, and then I came down to the secondary. So with the kicking by the Saints, very impressive. Some of the best we're seeing in the NFL right now. It reminds me of a shirt that debuted on Monday Night Football years back where it said, "Punters are people too." And I feel like I should have bought it at the time. Missed opportunity by me. But I went the secondary. It was the bulk of the conversation last week. We were talking about these defensive backs and how they were struggling. And for them to come out against Dak Prescott, very good quarterback, and that wide receiving core, and to be able to do what they did, I picked the secondary.
I would say the same thing. Secondary appears starting to come into its own with the turnovers, with the good coverage of Amari Cooper. I'm going to tell you something else. Watch out this coming Sunday. Because when the star wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Bucks comes to town, him and Marshawn Lattimore like to have some battles. Okay? That'll be a huge one-on-one, and Lattimore will be up for that game, I can guarantee you that. Because him and the big fella, they like to go after it. They like to go at it, and they talk a lot of trash, and that's a great little rivalry inside a rivalry, so to speak.
Oh, we remember what happened 2 years ago. That was the hit in the head.
Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore. That is going to be amazing to watch.
I don't know if people remember this, but yes, that was a big rivalry that was developing, and I can't wait to see it this Sunday. Thank you, Ray, for bringing that up.
That should be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the Saints secondary responds as well. Once again, Jameis Winston and the Bucks beat the Rams. They put 55 points on the Rams yesterday. That's bizarro. Like, what the hell was that? Tampa Bay raced out to like a 21-0 lead on the Rams. The Rams are like, what? What? You can just see them. They're like, oh, damn, man. Like, oh, we got a football game? Oh, the Tampa Bay Bucks came to play today? But if I had to guess, I'd say that's probably the best effort you're going to see from Tampa Bay all season long. No, I'm just being honest. So, yeah, go vote on our latest poll question. What were you the most impressed by? The Saints secondary stepping up in a big way, Alvin Kamara's tough running, or Thomas Morstead, Will Lutz, the special teamers, playing a huge role in yesterday's 12-10 win for the New Orleans Saints. We got to take a quick timeout, but coming up next, we're going to talk a little Raging Cajun football with the UL legend himself, Damon Mason. The Cajuns, Billy Napier and company, went on the road, defeated a team coming off a 10-win season, opening up Sunbelt play with a dub. We'll talk to Damon Mason all about it right here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III, and I'm joined by producer extraordinaire Louis Prejean. We've been talking New Orleans Saints because they got the big win last night to get to 3-1 overall, tied for second overall in the NFC, and they lead the NFC South. But they weren't the only team to secure a big victory over the weekend. The UL Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier and company, a week after going on the road in non-conference play and defeating Ohio out of the MAC a team that won 8 or 9 games a year before and went to a bowl game. They started off conference play by going on the road and beating Georgia Southern, a 10-win team from a season ago that won a bowl game. 37-24, 13-point victory. Louis Prejean predicted a 13-point victory. He didn't predict that score, but credit goes to where credit is due. Raging Cajuns, 37-24 win. They're now 4-1 on the year, 1-0 in Sunbelt Conference play. Their next game coming up will be a week from this Wednesday at home inside Cajun Field when App State, the defending conference champion and the team that defeated them twice last year, comes to town. Should be a tremendous game. We're going to talk more about the Raging Cajuns' big win on Saturday with our next guest. He is one of the greatest to ever play for the Raging Cajuns football team. His jersey, his number has been retired. He's in the UL Athletic Hall of Fame, and he joins us every Monday morning. It's the one and only Damon Mason. Damon, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
RPG, how you doing? I'm good, man. What about yourself?
Doing well. Tremendous road victory there for the Raging Cajuns to start off conference play. Trey Regas went off 131 yards, 2 touchdowns. Elijah Mitchell chipped in another 81 yards on the ground, another 2 touchdowns. They could not stop the rushing attack. Georgia Southern could not. Levi Lewis was effective, not spectacular, but effective. And the defense stepped up in a big way as well for the Raging Cajuns. Your takeaways from the Raging Cajuns' Sun Belt opening win over Georgia Southern this past Saturday, Damon?
Well, you know what? It's you look at it, and of course, preparing for this, so you're trying to think something special. But the bottom line is, you know, I felt they could win. It was special. It was a statement, especially when you're playing against a team like Georgia State. No, I'm sorry. Georgia Southern, well, I say, you know, I predicted they had to be, you know, you had to be disciplined when you run against a triple option, you know. In my heydays, you got a triple option. It could be a wing T, you know, it could be a pistol type thing, anything that gives you misdirection. So they proved that they can be disciplined. You know, it was a close game. Again, knowing my situation, looking at not being able to see the game, but looking at the stats and reading the comments, and understanding what it takes, you know, the defense, they made the key stops. Our offense put up a lot of points, enough points to win, which meant the offensive line got a great push because we didn't have to pass. Your quarterback didn't have to be spectacular, as you said, you know, 11 of 18, 165, 1 touchdown. But when you run a game, it's putting up, you know, one running back has 131, another running back has 81 yards. Both of them had 2 touchdowns apiece. You did what you need to do. Control the game, control the clock, got the key stops, got a great victory over a good team like Georgia Southern. So I was very impressed. Again, very impressed.
We're talking with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer and Raging Cajun football legend, the one and only Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, we've talked about this before, man. They have a great formula here. Levi Lewis, efficient, around 150 yards passing, touchdown, no interceptions. They run the ball very effectively, and they're playing good and improved defense week after week. Is this a formula that can work for them throughout the rest of the Sun Belt Conference play?
RPG, you know what? I would say yes. And actually, I thought about that in preparing for this and waiting for a question that you might ask. What does the kids need to do? Not only for the rest of this season, but also preparing for a team like App State. And the thing that came to my mind was, now it's time, as I would say, before practice like a pro, have the mindset of a pro. You know, for me, I can't give the answer that I had, the mindset that I have when I was in college. When I became a pro, you realize you had to do the same things every week. The things you've done better, the things you do good, do it better. And, of course, the things that you don't do so well, you know, those are things you prepare to get them better, correct the mistakes. And then it really goes to preparation. You know, you think about these young men at school, in college, you know, not getting too up, not being too down, you know, preparing, taking care of your body, you know, doing the right things while you prepare for a team like App State. Of course, going to class, which is the first and foremost, the most important thing. But at the same time, not being crazy, you know, like we were, you know, and just mentally prepare as well as physically, resting your body and, of course, watching film. So they have the formula. Now, it's honestly, I think it's really just more mental. And what they do off the field is definitely going to take them to another level or not. The coach has the system. I have no doubt in my mind. But these young men, the team needs to do that extra thing as young men, as individuals, as a team, collectively, together, off the field, to prepare for the rest of this season.
We're talking with Damon Mason, the UL Athletics Hall of Famer. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Once again, the Raging Cajuns improved to 4-1 on the season, 1-0. In Sun Belt Conference play with a 37-24 win over Georgia Southern. Defensively, this defense seems to be improving week in and week out, Damon. I mean, Shane Wirtz, he leads that triple option. He was 6 of 12 for only 37 yards passing, and he was held under 100 yards rushing. Now, they were able to get 215 yards on the ground, which I think is a win, especially against a triple option team like that. What do you think of what the Raging Cajuns are able to do here defensively moving on throughout the season? They're coming off a game where they had 3 sacks. They didn't get any interceptions, but they did get 3 sacks in Saturday's game, 6 tackles for a loss, and they were able to get 4 quarterback hurries. So far through 5 games, have you seen progress from the Cajuns' defense?
Yes, I've seen progress. Of course, there's still always room for growth. I've seen maturity. And again, thinking about the questions and the concept of this game, especially on defense, we talking about a team like Georgia Southern who's going to run, let's say, 90% of the time, you know, based on the stats that you posted. You know, man, as you say, if I'm looking at myself, you know, he went 6 for 12, 37 yards. So they're not a running team, they're not a passing team. But when you put up over 200-something yards rushing, you know they're going to run. So now it's just about being, as we said before, being disciplined. You know, and of course, tackling is a thing of pride for me. It's easy to throw the ball. You know, believe it or not, it's easy to throw the ball. But to have somebody just, you know, if the football field is 100 yards, and they're going to just try to run up and down the field, down your throat, and that's why it's a thing of pride on me. You know, so even though we are improving, even though we got a great win, got the stats we needed to, you still want to elevate your game to another level on the defensive side. You still want to practice getting those sacks, you know, stripping the ball, causing those fumbles. As I said before, I would love anybody who's played the defensive side of the football, but especially our Cajuns, you know, take pride in saying, I have to find a way to get the football. One thing we do every down is tackle. So that means every down we have to tackle, that's an opportunity to strip a ball. They're not going to pass every down, but they will have opportunity to make a tackle every down, which gives you opportunity to strip the ball every down. You know, and take pride. You know, my mindset was more of, you might run the ball, but can you take the punishment I'm going to give you for 4 quarters? You might catch the ball, but can you take the punishment I'm going to give you for 4 quarters? You know, so regardless of who you play, regardless of the course of the game, for 4 quarters, 60 minutes, can you take the punishment I will give you? That's the mindset, you know, that I would love our Cajuns to have. They're doing it. But again, we are talking more about going to another level, preparing for App State, you know, going the rest of the season with the foundation and the form that the coaches have already given them. Again, these players got to do, take it to another level, which the coaches are going to take you so far. As a player, you have to take yourself the extra mile of the way.
We're talking with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer, football legend Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let me ask you, Eric Guerrero, he's the sophomore defensive back, but he's also the return guy. He lost 2 fumbles yesterday. So, Damon, as a player, what do you do when you see one of your teammates like that who's being counted on to, you know, be a factor in the return game? lose not one but two fumbles. What are you telling him during the game, and what are you telling him after the game? That way he doesn't dwell on it.
First of all, I'm sorry for laughing, because you got to remember now, I played with a young man named Orlando Thomas, who we call Crowley High. And I just had to say this because I was a punt returner before I became a standard as a safety, a starter. I mean, I was only a 2-year starter, right? So I got to say this, man. Orlando Thomas used to tell me, he just said, "Little Mason, all right, now we tired. We're tired now, so don't you fumble, and we're not gonna block for you. So you better protect yourself." But he would tell me, "But if you give me your $10 per diem that we got in a row, we'll block for you." That's what he would tell me on special team. No lie, but truthfully, you tell your man, like he would tell me one time, I got hit on a punt return, you know, and honestly, I would say, you know, you pat him on the back, pat him on the butt. I mean, on the back, whatever. Pat him on the helmet. "Hey, man, keep your head up. You want to encourage him. I mean, I think all the kids, all the young men, all the players heard this in high school. Or should have heard it in high school about being a great team player. You know, you play 60 minutes, things going to happen. You prepare for adversity. You don't know what's going to happen, but you got to know that adversity is going to happen. And as we say before, as grown men watching this game, you know, you as a commentator, the team who can overcome an adversity, those are the teams who are going to find a way to win. Those are the teams who are mentally as well as physically prepared. You know, so that right there was adversity. So you pray that your teammates are great teammates. Or we will pray that our Cajuns are great guys, which we know they are, and they're well, very well coached. You know, so you know, pat him on the back, man. We understand. Pick him up, encourage him. But the most important thing is that young man, he has to be able to forgive himself and encourage himself. And that's what you hear about a player at every position, especially in the secondary. You know, you have to have a short-term memory. If you get beat for a pass, hey, man, you got to let it go. It happens. You got to let it go. You don't want to get beat, but it happens. You know, punt returner, kick returner. You don't want fumble, but sometimes it happens. But you got to let it go. You can't dwell on it. You know, so I would tell that young man right now, hey, man, it happens. I've been there once or twice in my career, but guess what? That's a part of the game. The question is, how will you overcome the adversity now? How will you prepare better so it don't happen again? It happened, so guess what? Get over it. Now prepare and make sure it don't happen again. And that's where mental discipline comes in.
We're wrapping things up here with the UL Athletic Hall of Famer and Raging Cajun football legend, the one and only Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Damon, Raging Cajuns are 4-1, started off Sun Belt Conference play 1-0 with a convincing road victory against a team that won 10 games a season ago. But now they got to wait because they got the weird Sun Belt TV schedule. So they won't play this week, and then we'll play on a Wednesday night. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so how do you prepare for that? How much different does that change the approach for the players, because you guys are creatures of habit, routine. Well, now your routine is going to be thrown off because you're not playing a game for a week and a half. How do you prepare for that? How important is the discipline between now and the next game that they play on that Wednesday versus App State? How important is that?
Very, very important. And again, that's where my answer and my thought process goes from not my experience as a collegiate athlete, but as a professional athlete. Practice like a pro. All right? Practice like a pro. When I first heard practice like a pro, RP3, and that was from Jay Gruden. You know, that meant, like, you know, we're going to go full speed in practice, but we're not going to do nothing to hurt our teammates. We're going to do the right things off the field as well as on the field. We don't have a game this week, but we're going to get good quality work. You know what I'm saying? But you guys rest your body. Spend more time watching the film. Take this off week. You know, it's not an off week, but you don't have no game, so you have an opportunity to get into the weight room, get into the swimming pool, get into treatment, do the extra things to prepare your body physically. But then you do the extra things to prepare your body mentally. As I said, you get off your feet, you rest. I mean, these young men are in college, so you have to go to class. Right? But besides class, besides practice, we all know that's the nightlife. That's the opportunity to go out, the opportunity to roam around less yet, as fun as it is. But, guys, you want to be a pro? You want to be a pro? Start now by thinking like a pro. starting nine by practicing like a pro, doing things off the field as well as on the field like a pro. All right? It's a Wednesday game, so that's what we got this week off as far as a game. It's not off week, but we have no game this week. But we come back the following Wednesday. Again, NFL teams play on Wednesdays, if not, I'm mistaken, it's Thursday. So it's a blessing in disguise. It's not a short week. We got basically another week to prepare, rest, mentally prepare ourselves so we can be at full strength. Because you play a tough Georgia Southern team, a team that was physical because they run the ball up and down the field. So now take this opportunity to prepare mentally, and that's where this spring comes in. You know, I give you a good scenario from a professional standpoint, not what I did in college. What I did as a pro in college are two different things. But, again, if these young men, you know, again, it's a classic case of, man, if I had known back then in college what I knew as a professional, I would have been even much more dangerous as a college football player than I was.
But Damon, you might have been too dangerous, man. You might have been too dangerous.
that's scary because I really didn't, and I say it's humbling. I knew I was good because I prepared for it, but as good as I was in college, I didn't learn the art of my position. I didn't learn how to be a cover. All I did in college was run around and hit people. All I did was make plays and play. I played football with passion and with heart. You know, that's why people look at, think about Damon Mason, you know, why I love Stokely so much. And Jake, we played with heart, man. We was young men. We was, you know, still young boys. You know, but when Jake and Brandon and people like that, Orlando, when they went to the NFL and I went to arena football, of course we were grown men. And we took what we did in college, but that elevated on a professional level because the things that we had to do was a whole lot more differently, off the field as well as on the field. So for me, if I would have known, I hate to say it, but if I would have known in college what I knew as a professional athlete, yeah, I mean, I watched film in college. I learned how to study film as a professional athlete. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Those are things I like to bring back to young men at the high school and collegiate level. So again, if they have that mindset, you know, the coaches can get them to take heed to that. You know, because the coaches are not there, as we all know. Between classes and practice, you have all that downtime. So with closing, I would love for those young men to say, man, we have a great week, great opportunity. App State, it's not revenge, but look, we want to make a statement again. Go 2-0 in the conference. Practice like a pro. Practice like a pro means prepare like a pro. Think like a pro. Do the right things as a pro. I want to be a pro one day, so it starts in your mind right now. So,
Damon, appreciate the time, brother. We got to run. You have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, RP3, take care.
Damon Mason, UL Athletic Hall of Famer. Join us there on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We got to take a timeout. You listen to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Coming up next, go kick off hour number three with Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. We'll talk some LSU Tigers, and we'll get back to the Saints conversation as well. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. Also simulcast on Stadium Network. That's 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber, 133 and 1133 in high definition. Just a reminder, we have our latest poll question up right now at 103.7thegame.com. What was the most impressive thing to you about the Saints' 12-10 victory over the Dallas Cowboys? Was it the tough running by Alvin Kamara? Was it the Saints' secondary stepping up? Or was it special teams? Will Lutz, Thomas Morstead playing at a tremendous level. Go vote right now at 103.7thegame.com. We spent the better part of today's show talking who dats Cowboys as expected. Big victory for the New Orleans Saints to improve to 3-1 on the year without Drew Brees, as they get the 12-10 victory over the visiting Cowboys. We also talked a little Raging Cajuns football. They got a big win over the weekend on the road at Georgia Southern to open up conference play. They're 4-1 on the year. We did that with Damon Mason last hour. But right now, it's time for us to talk a little LSU. They had the bye week. Undefeated against the bye week, the LSU Tigers are. They worked on some things, though. Coach Ed O said he and his staff were going to be working on things and having their players get healthy but also work defensively. On tackling was a big sore spot for Coach Ed O and company. But now they gear up. It's game week. Utah State comes to town this coming Saturday. 11 a.m. kick. Pregame will start at 9. You can listen to all that live right here on 103.7 The Game. It's time for us now to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Talk a little bit about this matchup. Talk about the state of the Tigers as it stands right now coming off the bye. He is part of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. He joins us every Monday. It's the one and only Jeff Palermo. Jeff, good morning to you. How was your weekend, brother?
No, it was good, Raymond. How about you?
It was a nice time had by all. I know you got to spend some time recharging the battery, so to speak. But let's talk about LSU. What did you hear late last week while they were practicing? What did you see and what did you hear about what they were working on this past week, brother, on the bye week?
Well, obviously, they had the weekend off after, a few practices. Hard to say how hard they went during those 3 days because they do have a lot of guys that are injured. But you know that they worked on some things. I think one of the things that Coach L talked about a couple times during the week during his media opportunities was moving Christian Fulton from the outside corner and having him more of a nickel cornerback. You know, he did something similar with Dante Jackson a couple years ago. I think it really helped defensively, and they may be doing a similar thing here. If Cordell Flott is ready to be an outside corner, Coach O really talked highly of him during the preseason camp. So this would be the time to do it. You would think they're going to do some different things. They're going to get tested this week. Utah State, obviously, not a Power 5 school, but a team that throws the ball around. They're top 5 in the country, top 10 in the country. I haven't looked at what the stats say this morning after this past weekend, but going into last weekend, they were a top 5 passing team in the country. So this defensive secondary, which has been shown, or really the pass defense altogether, which has been a bit of a weak spot here for LSU, it's going to get tested. I think, though, if they can get some of these guys back, they can get Kalevon Chasson back, I think that would be so huge because he's such a disruptor out there, and they don't have someone like that really now here for the last 2 years. Chasson went down with the season-ending injury in week one last year. And they never really were able to develop the pass rush that they were looking for all season long. And again, Chasson suffers an injury this season. Thank goodness for him and the LSU football team. It's not a season-ending injury. And again, the team is struggling to find a pass rush. So when Chasson leaves, probably after this year, Coach O and those guys, the recruiting staff, they got to go find a pass rusher because this defense is just lacking without it. And if you can get Rashard Lawrence and Benny Logan back, I think that certainly will help. But there's still question marks. I talked about it last week, Ray. I really think this is a defense that's kind of missing that guy in Devin White that held everybody accountable, made sure everybody was lined up correctly, and then also made a bunch of tackles himself. Nobody on this defense has emerged to do that, which is not a surprise because Devin White was one of the best – well, he was the best linebacker in the country last season. So hard to replace that. You just can't – you want to sit here and think – okay, they can be good without them because they got so-and-so players or they got so-and-so guys over here. But it just doesn't work like that all the time.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, let's talk a little bit about that offense. Jordan Love is the quarterback, the junior for the Aggies. He's already thrown for 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. What have you noticed when you've kind of watched a little bit of the film or talked to coaches? What have they noticed when it comes to the man that leads the way for the Aggies offense?
Well, I think we're going to hear a little more from Coach O about this today because he's obviously they've had some extra time here to work on these guys. LSU was really prepared when they played Georgia Southern for that triple option offense, and we'll see how well prepared they are to play against Utah State. This is triple option offense. Yeah, you don't see it that often. And
you wonder how your team's going to be able to handle, and you got to play kind of assignment football when you go up against them. But here it's not so much about assignment football in the sense of, well, especially for the defensive secondary. They gotta know where they're supposed to be lining up, where they're supposed to be, who they're supposed to be covering. There's been just so many coverage breakdowns here that it's just been really disappointing to watch for LSU as they're trying to kind of work in some new guys that didn't play much last year. So we talked about it before the season that these non-conference games at LSU, you know, Georgia Southern didn't turn out to be that good. That was not a team, again, that's going to win 10 games like they did a year ago. But when you looked at Utah State, you said, you know what, that's not going to be as easy as you would think. So, I think LSU is pretty well aware of it. There should be no reason, even though you have the tough schedule coming up here for LSU with Florida coming up 2 weeks after that, there should be really no reason why you're looking past this Utah State team just because they obviously they're putting up some numbers. Now, have they gone up against an SEC defense? No, but you still 400-plus yards. I mean, we've seen it from LSU. When you watch a team that's averaging, over 400 yards passing or whatever it may be, you know they're pretty darn good. And whether they're going up against inferior defenses or good defenses, they're obviously doing a lot of things right. And they got a quarterback that's really leading them very well at this point.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo, the Louisiana Radio Network. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. And, Jeff, to your point, you know, this is a team that's 3-1 on the season. They lost a shootout to number 22 Wake Forest. So they've lost their one game has been to a top 25 opponent, and that was a 38-35 loss. And they've turned around and defeated San Diego State and Colorado State now in back-to-back weekends. But I'll ask this, you know, defensively, are they going to be any match whatsoever with Joe Burrow and that high-powered offense? I mean, that looks like that's going to be a mismatch all day long.
Well, yeah, and you have to look really throughout the entire season, the way this team is throwing the football and the way Joe Burrow is playing and the confidence level that he has. I mean, what defense is really going to hold this team to, you know, less than four touchdowns, let's say. You know, even if they go up against Florida, LSU seems like a team that can easily score 30 points every game. So, that's the question. And obviously the question is, you have it again. I think they handled the 11 a.m. kickoff well against Vanderbilt. Might be a little bit different at home just because you're not going to get the crowd's not going to be in this game as much it would be if obviously if it was a night game. So, you know, that's another thing that LSU's going to have to battle as well is just the fact that they have the early kickoff here. But the bye week should not slow down LSU and what they're doing offensively. They should still be competing and performing very well. Obviously, you know, one of your main wide receivers is down, Terrace Marshall. But again, I think the bye week came at a good time. Get Stephon Sullivan back in the mold of being a wideout instead of a tight end and see if how successful they are with that.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, you know, this will be wrapping things up with Utah State, and I don't want to look ahead, but there is the grind is coming, and it's the difficulty of the schedule is going to be the three games in 4 weeks, or 5 weeks, I guess, because of the additional bye, with Florida and then Auburn and Alabama in a three games in a four-game stretch there. A&M looks down, Arkansas struggling, Ole Miss. The back end of the schedule is favorable, but everything will be in front of the Tigers. So how important is it not to – look ahead? I know everyone's circling that date with Alabama, but how important is it just to focus on Utah State this week and then Florida the next week?
Well, like I said, I don't see this team underestimating Utah State just because of the numbers that they put up this season. But it's hard, though. I mean, I know the fan base is already starting to looking forward to it. Florida Auburn is going to be a fun game to watch this Saturday. You're going to get a good test of where those two teams really stand at this point. LSU just needs to take care of business. There's no doubt about it. They just need to come out. Joe Burrow needs to be on fire, and if LSU is scoring at will, no matter what problems maybe LSU might have defensively, they should be able to overcome that. But this is going to be, you know, once you do get past this stretch against Utah State, this is going to be really fun to see where this LSU team measures up, because what you've seen, you have to be very excited about, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Yes, there's questions on the defense, but you feel like those questions could be solved. You get some guys back. You get Dave Aranda trying to figure out where to put guys. You know, is Christian Fulton lining up as a slot defender? Is that what they really need? Will that help? So there's a lot of things that is in front of this team. There's no doubt about that. But I think this team can stay focused in here on Utah State. There's not. I think that the biggest thing is, you know, when you jump on a team like Utah State, is then if you let off the gas pedal there and then you let them back in it with their explosive offense, that would be my biggest concern going into this game.
Jeff, appreciate your time as always, brother. Keep up the great work. And what you got, what you guys going to be, anything special on tap for tomorrow night's edition of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to live starting at 9 o'clock right here?
Well, we'll certainly be previewing the game against Utah State. We're going to kind of look back, see where LSU's at here, four games into this thing, try to get you some good guests as always. So got a lot, we'll have a lot for you on this show coming up here. Like I say, this is, you know, the last day of September. In October, college football really starts kind of, you get some really interesting matchups, more conference matchups, better games. And really what can kind of define here, this 2019 season will occur over the next 5-6 weeks.
Jeff, appreciate your time, brother. Enjoy your week, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good.
It's Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio joining us there on the Arco Quimpen Hotline. Welcome in. Once again, reminder, tomorrow Tiger Rag Radio will begin at 9 o'clock. That's right, 9 o'clock tomorrow night, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're going to take a quick timeout. More RP3 and Company, though, coming up next right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
And it was Garrett Cole's day going out there with the fastball. We saw him touch 100 miles an hour a couple of times, got to 101. But again, highly effective with the location of the fastball, getting on both sides of the plate, and then the power slider to get underneath some swings. But it was vintage Garrett Cole that we have seen in 2019 as he went out there and picked up another double-digit strikeout ball game, a strong finish to an incredibly strong season.
Houston Astros, best team in baseball? I think so. They finished out the regular season yesterday with an 8-5 win over the Angels. They finished the regular season with a franchise record best 107-55. Best record in the American League, best record in Major League Baseball. They will have home field advantage throughout the postseason. They'll begin their postseason on Friday in the ALDS as they host games 1 and 2 there at the Big Juice Box. Opponent will be determined at a later date, as they will play the winner of the wild card game. Astros. Let's talk a little bit about Alex Bregman, shall we? Making his MVP case. Bregman this season had the most home runs for an Astros player since Lance Berkman hit 45 back in 2006. Most RBIs, 112, since Carlos Lee had 119 in 2007. Also drew the most walks since Lance Bergman. In 2004, Bregman had 119. Also, most runs scored in a season since Jeff Bagwell in 2001. That's a pretty good season. Your final stats for the season in the MVP race, Mike Trout, 291 average, 27 doubles, 45 home runs, 104 RBIs, 110 walks, 110 runs. Alex Bregman, 296 batting average, 37 doubles, 41 home runs, 112 RBIs, 119 walks, 122 runs. you know who should get the vote for most valuable player. Should be Alex Bregman. But it just wasn't Breggs. You heard the announcer talk about it right there. Gerrit Cole's final regular season appearance. He struck out 10 batters. He struck out at least 10 batters in his final 9 starts, setting a Major League Baseball record. He struck out 326, by the way, for the year. The Astros are also the first team ever to lead the Major League Baseball in most pitching strikeouts and the fewest hitting strikeouts for a team, in case you were wondering. And they're going to have the American League Cy Young Award winner. I think it's going to be Gerrit Cole. You look at the two, Verlander, Cole. Verlander, 21-6, ERA of 2.58, 300 strikeouts. Great. Gerrit Cole, 20-5, ERA 2.50, 326 strikeouts for him. Opponent, OPS 579, just like Verlander. I think it's a coin flip, but I think Gerrit Cole probably gets the American League Cy Young Award. Alex Bregman, I think, has closed the gap, but I still think voters are going to vote for Mike Trout because this is baseball, and no other major sport loves awarding top award-winning trophies to guys on losing teams. So I think that's still Mike Trout's to win. Astros, ALDS, Friday, Saturday. You can listen to Game 2 of the ALDS right here on 103.7 The Game this coming Saturday. Congratulations to the Houston Astros. Tremendous season in the books, but they got eyes on the prize, World Series or bust. And you can follow it live with us right here at 103.7 The Game. Barry Hurstis, our boy Barry, joins us next, talking Saints, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
We're 3-1. You get back to work, you work on improving. We're still early enough in the year, and I say this, I can't get into all the things that we're still not doing well, and yet we're doing enough to win some of these close games, and that's encouraging. But there's a lot of things fundamentally that we have to improve on. And, you know, so fortunately we're coaching off a win and not a loss and making those corrections.
Coaching off of win to make those corrections. It's key. Saints 3-1 on the season, tied for the second best record in the NFC. They've been able to do this without Drew Brees. They got the 12-10 victory over the Dallas Cowboys last night. It was a defensive effort. It was a special teams effort. Offense struggled, but both teams' offense struggled, as was a good old-fashioned SEC Saturday type of schlabanaka out there inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome last night. But a win is a win, regardless if it is ugly or not. And I do believe our next guest will agree with that. We're going to head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. He is the Saints reporter for the Big Easy Magazine, as well as the Saints News Network. He joins us every Monday. It's our boy, Barry Hurstis. Barry, good morning to you. My first question, brother, have you gone to sleep yet?
I might have slept about an hour or two. I've literally been awake since yesterday morning, pretty much. Man, what a phenomenal win. There's a reason I couldn't get any sleep last night, and besides staying up to about 4 o'clock in the morning putting together the article that's up on Big Easy Magazine right now as we speak. That said, man, look, this team just keeps amazing people. I said it in the opening line, you know, it wasn't supposed to happen like this, you know. We were sitting here 2 weeks ago, doom and gloom, man, talking about, oh, God, can this team go 6-10 or 7-9 and somehow salvage the season if Drew Brees has to miss any significant amount of time. Now here we are 2 weeks later. The Saints are 3-1. They still lead the NFC South. And, I mean, you literally could win one out of your next 4 games and still be at 500 and have your living legend starting quarterback back in the lineup if everything goes according to plan, which we had no reason to suspect otherwise. So, man, I can't. I know it sounds like homerism or like we're gushing over the team, but I cannot stress enough what a fantastic game plan that Sean Payton and the entire coaching staff, especially on the defensive side of the ball, Aaron Glenn, Ryan Nielsen, Mike Nolan, I mean, just all those assistants on the defensive side of the football, just phenomenal, phenomenal game planning to have those guys ready for that team, for all the hype and all the garbage we've been spoon-fed for the last 7 days, for them to go out there and look the way they did last night. I grant you, the offense did struggle, and we'll get to that. But the effort, I'm talking about the effort strictly. Just think of the effort and what it takes to have your back literally against the wall and your season on the line 2 weeks in, you know, and to bounce back and to do what they've done in these, it's just phenomenal. And again, it speaks to the expertise of Sean Payton. I mean, it this, you know, we've talked all the years he's been the head coach of the Saints. This, and it's not hyperbole. This is not hype. This may be his finest coaching performance of his entire NFL career, at least up to this point.
We're talking with Barry Herstis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the Arco Equipment Hotline. All right, Barry, let's talk about Teddy Bridgewater. He dueled with Dak Prescott. Both quarterbacks struggled, couldn't get their teams into the end zone. Dallas did score a touchdown, but that was on the ground. What do you make of Teddy's performance overall from last night?
I thought he did regress a little bit from last week. Now let's give Dallas credit, because I personally feel like their defense is a little bit better than Seattle's. I know Seattle's got some talented guys. They've got Clowney, of course, and a few other guys, Bobby Wagner. That said, overall, especially those linebackers, man, Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch might be the best young duo of linebackers in the league right now. And of course, man, Robert Quinn coming off the edge. Man, Teron Armstead struggled just as bad as Teddy did. But that said, the thing that the most encouraging thing to take away from Teddy's performance, he didn't have the catastrophic turnover. Yeah, he threw the interception. Yeah, he took that sack. Especially on that last sack, maybe he should have threw the ball away. I think Sean Payton kind of took the blame on that and said that maybe he had the wrong call as far as the protection scheme that he had called for that particular play. Me personally, I thought Teddy had enough time that maybe he could have just threw it away and, heck, maybe even take a grounding penalty in that situation, because you don't want to take a 20-yard sack from Robert Quinn. So, and maybe that's just, you know, Teddy's inexperience as far as having enough starts in the league. That said, he didn't commit the crucial turnover. He didn't make the critical mistake that we were all waiting for him to make. Because believe me, if you were a Saints fan last night, that in the back of your mind, you were thinking to yourself, okay, here it comes. We've seen this a million times. Something's going to happen, and they're going to go down and beat us on a field goal and win 13-12. I know every Saints fan was thinking that last night. I know I was, and I was waiting for it to happen. So to finish off the game in the manner that they did, and, man, what a gutsy call, blitzing Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the rookie, Dennis Allen sending him on an all-out blitz on the final play. And that's one of the reasons why Prescott, if you go back and look at the film, you'll see that one of the reasons Prescott throws an interception is because of the blitz from the rookie Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So just all the little things that the Saints basically packaged together, and you know, just again, just a phenomenal effort, man. Look, the NFC, this is not what they had planned. I guarantee you, there were teams like Green Bay, Philadelphia, Dallas. All the teams that were celebrating the demise of the New Orleans Saints. And here they are this morning saying, uh-oh. And if this team gets Drew Brees back as anticipated on the day that or the time frame that we anticipate, watch out.
We're talking with our boy, Barry. Barry Hurstis from the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Barry, I have to be just a little negative here for a second. Mm-hmm. Andrus Peat. He appears to be struggling, brother. Are we going to see a change and have the man that they signed away from the Minnesota Vikings come in and be the starting left guard sometime in the next few games?
Yeah, it's very possible. Look, when you heard, as you guys led into this segment, you heard Sean talking about there's a lot of things we still need to clean up fundamentally. I think Andrus Peat is probably one of the people he was, without calling out names, because, you know, Sean's good at that. he can call somebody out without actually saying their name. And I got the feeling that he was talking about Peat, probably was one of the people he was alluding to. Hey, man, look, now in Armstead's case, look, Robert Quinn makes a lot of people look silly. So I wouldn't put the same onus or the same criticism on Armstead as I would Peat. But, you know, hey, we saw Peat struggle last year, too. And I know he's been hurt. He's been nicked up here and there. And usually when he's injured, he tends to not play as well when he tries to play hurt, as, you know, in comparison to when he's, 100% or near 100%. But that said, man, they made him look silly, and he's going to have to improve. And look, you got Shaquille Barrett coming in here next week with 9 sacks, and who's on fire right now. Tampa Bay is not going to be any slouch. I'm sure you and I will cover that more in detail here in a minute. But they're not going to get even though the schedule does lighten up. Nobody's going to cut the Saints any slack, so they're going to have to bring this effort every week.
We're talking with Barry Hurstis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. All right, Barry, we asked it as our poll question for today. What was the most impressive thing from Sunday's game? Was it Alvin Kamara's tough running once again? Was it the secondary stepping up in a huge way? Or was it special teams standouts, Morstead and Lutz, doing tremendous things there in the kicking game? What stood out to you?
Look, you could pretty much vote for any of those three and not be wrong. But for me personally, and just because of our conversation from last week, as you recall, I told you that Eli Apple was going to have to step up in particular. Look, kudos to that young man, because he did. I had pointed out that he was going to be one-on-one with Devin Smith, his former teammate at Ohio State, who took over from Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup is their normal number two outside receiver on the opposite side of Cooper. And I felt like that was a matchup that they could win, especially with Apple, struggling here and there at times. But he did a phenomenal job. And obviously, Marshawn Lattimore, with the job he did on Amari Cooper, man, talk about phenomenal effort there. And it brought to mind his rookie year 2 years ago when he was locking down everybody. So I'm going to go with the secondary. That said, out of the frying pan and into the fire, brother, because you got Chris Godwin and Michael Evans coming in here next week, and that certainly ain't going to be no Sunday picnic.
Wrapping things up with our boy Barry Hurstis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. Barry, all right. Tampa Bay went out on the road to Los Angeles and dropped 55 on the Rams. Is that a fluke, or are the Bucs better than we thought they were?
I think they're better than we thought they were, but I also believe that they're not as good as we think they are. I've seen a few people trumpeting as you alluded to, that performance out in Los Angeles. Hey, it was impressive. Make no mistake about it. But I really feel like if the Saints can bring the heat on Jameis Winston like they did against Prescott last night, look, famous Jameis, he's improved. Make no mistake about it. And we know that Bruce Arians is a noted quarterback whisperer or whatever, a guru, whatever you want to call it. And it's evident. I mean, you can see it. Jameis Winston actually has improved. He really has. That said, we know what Jameis Winston is when he's under pressure. We've seen it. We've watched him crack many a time. And look, to me, the one of the biggest things that I thought that we didn't really touch on about last night. Even though Sheldon Rankins didn't play, he played 38 snaps, maybe about 66% of the snaps. So in his first game back, Sheldon Rankins played 2/3 of the game. You know, just a remarkable recovery. But his presence, when you had him and Malcolm Brown and Onyemata, I had all three of those guys in at the same time. And just the push they were getting up the middle. And to me, that's going to be a key factor again next week against Tampa Bay. Because if you get in Jameis Winston's face and make him uneasy and make him nervous back in that pocket, he's going to make mistakes. And I don't care if he's got Chris Godwin and Mike Evans or not.
Barry, appreciate it as always. Don't have to worry about you delivering on Monday morning, brother. Good job. Keep up the great work there at Big Easy Magazine and Saints News Network. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
You got it, buddy.
That's Barry Hirsis joining us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Barry makes some good points. He says, like you, Louis Prejean, secondary is what impressed him the most. I agree with that, too. Secondary really stepped up, and it couldn't have happened at a better time with apparently a rejuvenated Bucs offense with Bruce Arians at the helm there as head coach and Jameis Winston and company coming to town. But that's inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Woo! That's going to be a good game on Sunday. We got to take our final break of the morning. You want to squeeze in a phone call? We can. We'll get you on the back end here. ARCO Equipment Hotline 337-706-0111. If you got anything else to say about the Hoodats, feel free to give us a call. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Welcome back. Reminder, Prep Power Hour with the good brother Ben Love, host of Bumper to Bumper Sports, is back again tomorrow night there on Pete's on Johnston. We've had a tremendous outpouring of support from the local teams and their fan base, Southside High, Turlings, STM. Well, this week, Acadiana High will be in the building for the Prep Power Hour there at Pete's on Johnston. Once again, the good brother Ben Love will broadcast his show live from 4 to 7. But then from 6 to 7, it'll be all Acadiana High, reckon Rams fans. So you can go out there, join them in person, show your support, be there at Pete's on Johnston from 6 to 7 tomorrow as the good brother Ben Love broadcasts the Prep Power Hour and his show Bumper to Bumper Sports there. Or you can just tune in and catch it. But once again, Prep Power Hour returns tomorrow. Pete's on Johnston, the good brother Ben Love, Bumper to Bumper Sports. 4 to 7 this week, Acadiana High, reckon Rams will be profiled. I want to take a moment to thank our guest today for making the time out. Start off the week strong. Damon Mason, the UL football legend. Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. And, of course, our boy Barry. Barry Hirsis coming on board, doing his thing as only he can. I want to thank all of our callers today. We had what I call, it's a big fancy college word. You're going to like this, Louis Prejean. Plethora. We had a plethora of phone callers. Excited to talk about them Hoodats, the New Orleans Saints. I want to thank all the callers for making us part of their day. Programming reminder, Coach O press conference, be back on our airwaves today. Bye week is over. It's game week. So make sure to tune in 12:10 for the Coach O presser. We'll have the Jordy Holtberg show from 2 to 4, as always with Uncle Jordy. And then Bumper to Bumper Sports, 4 to 6:30. Ben Love's got a tremendous show lined up for you. Make sure to tune in for that. And he's going to lead you into pregame for Monday Night Football, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game, courtesy of Westwood One. Bengals at Steelers, AFC North battle. Definitely has some fantasy football implications out there for all you fantasy footballers. So make sure to check that out. Pregame will be 6:30. Kickoff, 6 o'clock. What a way. Once again, Hoodats, 3-1. I'll say it again. If you would have been asked before the start of the season, hey, through the first four games of the season, first quarter point against the Texans, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Cowboys, you will be 3-1 and leading your division every single one of you would jump all over that. And guess what? That has now occurred even without the Breezy himself, number nine. What a great start with him being out. Can they keep it moving forward? Can they keep that momentum going and just rack up win after win while Drew recovers? We hope so. Sunday, big test. Tampa Bay comes to town. Jameis Winston and company. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you once again for everyone listening. Thanks to Louis Prejean, producer extraordinaire. We'll do it all again tomorrow from 6 to 9. Y'all be safe out there. Be kind to one another. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. This is RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.